had the good fortune when I was growing up, living on the farm that had been in my family since my granddaddy Harvey bought it at the turn of the last century. We moved in with him, my sister and I, and my parents moved in with granddaddy after my grandmother died when I was about some of these kids' age, about 10 years old. Because it was the family home place, all of my granddaddy's kids and grandkids would converge on the home place, especially in the summertime, and we spent many a summer evening on the front porch of my home, where they would spin yarns about the good old days of their childhood. And as they reminisced and as I listened, I found myself wishing that I had lived back then. Their lives seemed to be so full of adventure and fun. Not that I wasn't having it when I was, but they just made it sound like it was so interesting and so much fun. Even now, though, when my cousins and my kids and my grandkids will gather around the dining room table or if we're sitting on the porch, invariably the comment will be made, "Do you remember when?" Or, "Tell us the story about," and then the storytelling will begin. My grandkids now have a little custom when we are putting them to bed, if they're visiting us in our home, they'll call me into the bedroom and they'll say, "Granddaddy, tell me a little Donnie story." They called me Donnie when I was growing up. And so I would tell them some adventure or something that had happened to me when I was a kid, and they love that, and they won't go to sleep until I have told them the story. But traveling down memory lane is wonderful and I think a very important exercise for us. I remember when I was in college, I participated in our church's Adopt-a-Grandparent program. A friend and I were assigned a very interesting elderly woman who lived alone in an apartment just off the campus. She enjoyed our company, and we enjoyed hearing her tell wonderful stories about what it was like growing up in Williamsburg back before it became the tourist trap that it is today. I don't remember all the details of the stories that she shared, but I do remember one thing that she said at the beginning of one of our visits. She said to us, "Young men, never forget, we all ride on the omnibus of our ancestors." I'll never forget that, because I think it's true. We cannot escape our past. It's in us. It's formed and shaped us and brought us to be the people that we are today. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "We are not makers of history, we are made by history." And the events in our past that we choose to celebrate tell a lot about the kind of people that we are. There are many occasions that we gather to remember and to celebrate those important milestones in our lives. Birthdays and retirements, holidays like Memorial Day and Independence Day and Homecoming, Communion, and the Lord's Supper. These are all occasions that call us to remember. There are many reasons why this retrospection is important. It reminds us once again of who we are as a people. It becomes a way that we have of telling other people who we are as well. It honors all of those who have gone on before us. It presents us with an opportunity to learn from history. And finally, it is a source of hope. For when we stop to examine what we have been through and how we have grown from it, then we realize the future continues to hold promise and hope for no matter what for us, no matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in. I agree with Fred Craddock when he says that there is hardly any posture for a human being that can replace the posture of recollection and reflection. It is essential to the health of a community and of a person. Memory. Remembering things and people and events from times gone by. Memory is vital to life. I'm told that prisoners of war have survived and kept their sanity by memory, by recalling the names of school teachers or the names of classmates or street numbers or a thousand other insignificant things. They kept themselves sane by reaching into the chest of memory and holding on to yesterday, hoping somehow that it will guarantee them a tomorrow. If you haven't grasped how vital to life memory really is, then walk into a nursing home and visit someone like my mother, who had Alzheimer's for more than 10 years and who died without any real recollection of her past. It's a hard thing, I tell you, when you speak to your mother as you have for years, to call her name, to say, Mama, and then to look into the eyes of a person who gave birth to you and who nurtured you into adulthood and to see a blank stare of unrecognition. To speak to her of her husband, my dad, or of her grandchildren, my kids, and to hear her say, I didn't know I was even married. I didn't know that you had moved to North Carolina. I didn't know that you had children. I didn't know that. That was the refrain that I heard over and over through the years of her Alzheimer's. Beautiful memories locked away in her brain, gone forever. Alzheimer's is a thief that robs a person of that which sustains and identifies us and enables us to connect with one another. Memory is so very important. The prophet Isaiah spoke to the children of Israel who were in exile, who said to them, "Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn." In other words, never lose sight of where you have come from. Never forget your roots or your heritage. It's who you are. It's your identity. And the psalmist today in our scripture lesson asked the question, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. These were the words of a people who were languishing in a place far away from their home in exile. Babylon was like a prison to the children of Israel. They found themselves there not as willing tourists, but as unwilling spoils of battle. Jerusalem, their beloved city, had fallen to Babylon in 587 BC, and deportation had followed immediately for a significant number of their leaders, their ablest and most productive citizens. And so these Israelites, these children of Israel, found themselves in a land in exile that had nothing but contempt for the Lord God. But when one of those exiles, upon his return years later, reflected on his experience, he wrote those beautiful words that are among the most touching in the Bible. I love the way Eugene Peterson has paraphrased that passage that was read just a few moments ago. Alongside Babylon's rivers, he says, we sat on the banks and cried, remembering the good old days in Zion. Alongside quaking aspens, we stacked our unplayed harps. That's where our captors demanded songs, sarcastic and mocking. Sing us a happy song. Ernest Campbell suggests that some have imagined that the enslaving Babylonians partying it up on Saturday night sought to compel the Israelites, the Hebrews, to add to their merriment by singing one of their sacred songs. But the Jews would have considered this a sacrilege, since doing so would have been like casting pearls before swine. Of course they resisted. Of course they hung their harps up on the willows. Of course they found it difficult to sing. Of course they laid down and wept, homesick for their beloved homeland, discouraged by their present circumstances. Truth of the matter is that there are times in our own lives when we cannot sing the Lord's song either. Most of us could tell of an experience when our throats went dry, or our lips were parched, or our tongues were so heavy that we could not bring ourselves to sing. There were no words of joy, no expressions of confident faith. God seemed to be nowhere about. God certainly seemed to be absent from us. Most of us could tell of some kind of experience that was so painful, so disillusioning, so threatening to our faith that we could not sing the songs of faith. We may have tried, but we could not, or we may not have tried, so desperate was our circumstance. But we cannot forget. We must not forget. For remembering may bring tears to our eyes and lumps to our throats, but it is important for us as God's children to remember. The psalmist sang, "If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my fingers wither and fall off like leaves. Let my tongue swell and turn black if I fail to remember you. If I fail, O dear Jerusalem, to honor you as my greatest." Remembering Jerusalem. Remembering the homeland. Remembering God. That's what sustained the people of God while they were in exile. It was the memory of God's protection. It was the memory of God's provision in times gone by that gave the people the courage and the hope that they needed to make it through sometimes very difficult circumstances. That's why God gave the people the command to Moses that after they had left bondage in Egypt, slavery in Egypt, that they would choose a day, we call it the Passover, where they would remember, they would celebrate the passing over of the angel of death. As they were spared themselves, they were delivered, the people of God were delivered. That's why God gave the command to Joshua, as the people of Israel had crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground, to send 12 men back, a representative from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, back into the middle of the Jordan River to retrieve 12 stones and to bring them to Gilgal, where they would build an altar to commemorate God's saving act and to offer thanksgiving and praise to him. And when they had done that, God said to them, "When your children and your children's children ask, 'What mean these stones?' then you are to tell them how God delivered you, how God saved you, how God promised you a great and wonderful future." But the building of that altar was to be a sign of God's past goodness and the promise of future blessing. The altar that they built was to serve as a sign, if you will, to future generations. They needed to remember. And so do we. And so today marks the first leg, the first step in our transition process. And as a way to do that, we're going to have a conversation, as I mentioned earlier, around the tables in the fellowship hall after we've had a meal together to talk about the past, to remember how God has brought you through the waters to this place where you are today. So as we come to the end of this service today, I'm going to ask you to do something that I hope will serve as a catalyst for us to be about the business of remembering God's goodness in the past. I want you to take that index card that I referenced at the beginning of the service today in the bulletin. If you didn't get one, maybe there'll be someone around that can give you one that they did not have. And I want you to take a pencil. Hopefully there are enough of those out there in the pews, or maybe you have one in your pocket. But I want you to do this. I want you to write down something. I want you to think about it first. When we reflect on the experience of the children of Israel as they came across the Jordan River, they were so happy, so glad that God had brought them through to the other side that they built an altar. But the building of the altar was symbolic of, of their celebrating God's goodness in having brought them through the waters. So I want you to take that card and a pencil or a pen, and I want you to write down on that card something that you remember, an incident in your life as a church, perhaps, that would be preferable, or even as an individual, of how God brought you through the water, how God delivered you, how God saved you, how God protected you, God provided for you, whatever it may be. It may have been a time of turmoil or indecision. It may have been a time of uncertainty or anxiety or confusion or conflict. Maybe it was a high moment, a time when you were able to celebrate the goodness of God and God's protection for you. I don't know what it will be for you, but what I'd like to ask you to do is to write down your remembrance, just a few words, to represent whatever it is that came to your mind when I suggested that. And then after you have written that down, I'm going to ask you to do something that you might not be accustomed to doing in a Baptist church. I want you to bring whatever it is that you have written down on your index card to the front here at the altar. And you'll notice that I've got two urns that are placed down in front of the river rocks that I have brought from the farm in Virginia. And what I'd like for you to do is to take the index cards, the remembrances that you have, and place them in an urn. We'll just ask if you would just to come down the middle aisle and place it in the urn, and then after you have put your memory in the urn, to pick up a rock and to build an altar. Just a symbolic way of representing, something that we can represent to the people who are gathered in this community today and to the gathered community in Sundays to come, that we have taken the time to remember. We've taken the time to pause and to reflect on God's goodness and God's grace in bringing us through the water and putting us where we are today. If you would honor my request today to do that, if you'll do that, we'll wait in silence for a few moments for folks to write down on that card, and then at the designated time, we'll sing a song, and you can bring your remembrances to the front, and I'll be here to assist you if you need that, as we build our own altar on this side of our Jordan River. Would you spend some time in quiet reflection right now as we do that? Join with me as we pray. God, we thank you that you have proven yourself to be a good and gracious God. For many of us, we've walked the journey of faith a long time, some not so long. But all of us have had experiences along the way that have reminded us that we're not alone, that we're not bereft of help or resources, spiritual resources that we need to get through whatever it is that we've had to experience. Maybe it was the death of a loved one. Maybe it was a financial difficulty. Maybe it was the loss of a friend. Maybe it was conflict in the church. Maybe it was some kind of controversy or struggle that we had to face with, but we look back, Lord, we remember those times, and at the time we didn't think we could make it through, but we did. And here we are. And so we offer up to you, O God, our prayer of thanksgiving for your provision and for your protection through the years, that you've allowed us, O God, not just to survive, but to thrive. And we're here to testify. So, Lord, as we lay these stones on this altar today, I pray that first of all, in the giving of these remembrances, you would receive them as our prayers of thanksgiving. And that in the laying of the stones, O God, we might You might also see this as our act of dedication to the commands that you gave to your children so long ago and that you still give to us today, to remember the rock from which we were cut, the quarry from which we were hewn. Help us, O God, we pray, in this act of remembrance today to honor you and to give glory and praise to you as the giver and sustainer of life. This is our prayer. We make it as we always do. In Jesus' name, amen.